Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. I've shared in earlier episodes the primary purpose for the podcast was to inform, to share, and promote the full scope of value proposition architects bring to their communities, local building officials, public officials, to their membership, and to architects in their area that have not quite made the decision to join AIA. AIA Florida has a strategic partner in this mission, the Florida Foundation for Architecture, and we're privileged to have its 2025 chair, Mr. Stephen J. Ruby, AIA. Good morning, Stephen, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, good morning, Rhonda. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about our important issues here and our relationship between AIA Florida and the foundation. Before we start, I just want to commend you on what you're doing with this podcast. A labor of love, I know. I do one for Southwest. It's enjoyable, but you get the message out there. This is part of the mission of the foundation is to speak to the public. And I really want to commend you for taking your time and energy and efforts to do this.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So I'm excited about our conversation today. So a little bit about the foundation. It was chartered in 1967 by the Florida Association of the American Institute of Architects, and it's governed by a board of directors who also have experience as state directors and leaders of AIA Florida. But before we get into the specifics about the foundation and your ambitious plans, please share your story of your journey to architecture.
It's a long one. I'm long in the tooth here. So it goes back decades. I actually made a decision to become an architect when I was 14 years old. There's a long story behind it that had to do with the dedication of Dulles International Airport when I watched it on television and was just so impressed, dedicated it about the building. And that made me decide that I think I want to do this. But I think one thread in my whole career in my architectural practice has to do with really community involvement. Started even on my undergraduate career, we did a year-long urban workshop in a distressed neighborhood in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And that got me very involved, and I decided to get a degree in urban design. A good portion of what I've done in my career has to do with community revitalization in major metropolitan areas, usually in neighborhoods that were depressed by defunct public housing. We work in Atlanta, Dallas, Memphis, Camden, New Jersey, really distressed neighborhoods. And in order to effectuate something in those neighborhoods, you really need to get in community engagement and be out there talking about the importance of what we're doing and how it could improve the neighborhood. So there's a kind of a thread of community involvement that's been through my career. So I guess, yes, I do architecture, I make buildings, but I think the thing that I really enjoy the most is revitalizing communities and seeing, it's a long effort, but seeing a community change from distress into something vibrant is very rewarding.
So you're the 2025 Foundation Chair. How long have you served on the foundation?
It's going to be 5 years. Our mission is simple. We advocate the value of architecture to the public, the face of architecture for the public. Value added to our members is that we are promoting them. We are marketing their skills and their importance in the community.
So I declared that we had a strategic partner with the foundation. But can you elaborate on what that relationship is?
Simply, I look at that relationship. We are strategic partners. The foundation, we at the foundation, as I just said, are looking outward. We're looking to the public. It's not that we're ignoring our members. We're looking to the public and we're the face of architecture to the public. Where I think AIA Florida tends to be more inward focused on our members and bringing value and services, and education, and advocacy that are important to our profession and to our members. But there are overlaps. People's Choice coming up very soon before convention. And that was an initiative that kind of kicked off from the foundation, and AIA Florida picked it up and started marketing it, and has become very successful. And it's a great way of communicating to the public buildings that are in their community that may not have noticed, and suddenly they're voting on them to pick the best ones, what they think are the best ones in the state. The other thing that we share is the scholarship fund, and we kind of have joint matching funds between AIA Florida and the foundation. The other is architectural and education. Architectural and education program really started with the foundation, and we're partnering with AIA Florida to implement education to fourth and fifth graders in elementary schools throughout the state. It's a great program. It engages our associates, members at the local level, and it exposes architecture to young people, to their teachers, and they take it home and they expose it to their parents and their siblings. Another way I think we're going to probably have an overlap is maybe this podcast series, which I'm very, very bullish on, and locking arms with the foundation and ending it.
I think it would fit right in with your mission. So as the chair this year, what are your goals for this organization? Tell us what you've got planned.
Well, I guess it starts after 4 years on the board. I sit there every year and we're kind of talk about the same things we've been talking about probably for a decade or two decades. I felt we were getting stagnant. We weren't really actively going out there and hitting the street and peddling our mission. You know, I don't think the public or even our members know who we are, what we do, and why we're there. I guess my overall goal is to, get the foundation better exposed, get our brand out there to the public and also to our members so they can, in fact, take it to their local public in ways that they may have different ways of communicating that, but, just excite them to take the message out to their public. I have several specific goals. I think when we went into our strategic planning meeting, I've kind of three goals. One is to target our strategies for communicating the value of architecture to the public. Now, I think we need to enhance and upgrade our strategies, target them to specific communities in a much more robust way than we have been doing it. I think we want to focus on 13 AIA components and their local foundations. I think they're the strength, their way of getting the message out across the state, area by area. Each area in the state is very different. And Tallahassee is different from Miami. Southwest Florida is different from Orlando. And the mechanisms to communicate to the public need to be tailored to the areas. So I think we need to gauge those components in a much more robust way. And the last thing is to expand our funding opportunities. We need money to do this. And as a foundation, foundations are very bullish about going out. There's no shame in going out and asking for money in a big way. And I think we haven't been doing that very well either. So all three of these goals are really amp up our image and our ability to communicate.
Going back to supporting the local components, in AIA Tallahassee, when I was more active in the board here, we talked on more than one occasion about creating our own foundation. And I'm not certain I understood the purpose at the local level like that. Can you share how that would work? And then does the foundation serve in an advisory board or advisor position, helping them get it set up? Or is it through the foundation or is it a separate organization? Explain that.
You have to have a purpose to establish a local foundation because it will be complicated. It takes some time and energy and effort. There's a liability and a responsibility to doing it. You don't do it just to have the name of a foundation. There should be a purpose, whether it's you want to buy a building for your component, you want to have a scholarship fund. We just, 2 weeks ago, our foundation here in Southwest was recognized by the IRS. And the whole purpose, the main purpose of this is to establish a very robust, we had a fairly robust, for small component, fairly robust scholarship program, and we want to amp that up. The purpose for that foundation is to do fundraising for a scholarship fund in a way that we can't do at the component nonprofit. Florida Foundation for Architecture does not provide technical assistance for somebody doing it. We align them with, go to Orlando. Orlando just did it. They may be able to help you, but we're not there to this point, we haven't provided technical assistance in how to do that, only that we would help them in funding some of this through a matching grant.
So going back to the public outreach, the architecture and education is near and dear to me, and I've always wanted to participate that and encourage that opportunity. So I would be interested in assisting you. But I understand that Chris Bettinger from the Florida Masonry Association presented the pre-apprentices program at your strategic planning. Tell us about how that was received and how the foundation can participate in that program.
Talk a little bit about the educational aspects of what the foundation is doing. That was a great discussion that we had at our strategic planning session. I guess the question was, how does education align with our mission of public outreach? And does it? And should we expand our mission or does education somehow fall in that public outreach? And we just looking at the history, the architecture and education program, as I talked previously mentioned, really was targeted at elementary schools and their parents and their teachers. So it really did have a public impact. And that was our first foray out into education. Second thing we did in education was to partner with AIA Florida for scholarship. It's noteworthy. It's a good thing to do, but it's sort of tangential to our mission. How does that really outreach to the public other than we're helping some students who may otherwise not have been able to go through college, so you can get a little good press on that. But there, it isn't really mission-driven. And it's sort of tangential to the mission. Where we placed Chris's pre-apprentice masonry program was somewhere in between that. It's more like the AIE, the Architectural Education Program, in that now we're not dealing with fourth and fifth graders. We're dealing with juniors and seniors in high school, aligning them to a career. One of the things I think that helped sell that is Chris was saying, well, we want you at AIA Florida or the foundation to make educational presentations to these students, what an architect is, how architecture affects, if you're going to become a mason, how plans and how what an architect does and designs a building and how that affects your, and he said, You may even attract people to move over and suddenly say, gee, I want better to be an architect than a mason I never knew about. So there is an outreach element to that. And we're excited about it because I think there is a shortage of labor in the labor force within Florida. And masonry is a huge element of our construction. That's the kind of educational aspect of it. That leads into the public outreach. Talked about my three goals. And I think you can say that three goals have what we do, how we do it, and how we fund it. Yes, education is part of what we do, but it's also that public outreach. I think what came out of the strategic planning session is we have to enhance our social media presence. We're not out there. AIA Florida, almost every day I see something from AIA Florida on LinkedIn or Instagram. We need to be somewhat like that. I'd love to encourage other architects. Many of us are great writers and published books and articles. Let's get some press out there, press releases, so we can get local media to pick up on the video podcast. I want to lock arms with you, Rhonda, and do something. The twist that I want to do, and we've talked about this twist I'd like to do in a video, are talk about the effects of architecture on people's daily life. I use one of the examples of the climate responsiveness. I'm in Southwest Florida. We're in a tropical climate. How do we deal with shade and rain protection? And you have great examples in Tallahassee where you are. Those wonderful arcades on the buildings that were built in the 1920s. Tell public, why are those arcades there? Well, the arcades were there so you could walk in the rain, and if you shaded, you always walk on the shady side of the street. This is how architecture kind of responds to the climate, and it helps you in your environment. So that it's that kind of message that I'd like the foundation's podcast to get out there. How we do it, providing tools and incentives and technical support to our components and help them get out there. We've started a year ago, I guess it was last year. We have a matching fund incentive. So if you on a local level have a lecture series, or you want to do a film, whatever it is that gets your message out about architecture to the public, and we'll match your funds. So if it costs you $2,000, we'll give you $2,000 as a grant. I think the process we came up to do that is a little bit cumbersome and complicated. I think it could be much simpler for the amount of money you're getting. So that might be something we need to clean up a little more accessible to the proponents. And then expanding our funding, there's corporations, there are other foundations, there's high wealth individuals that would support our mission. I chair a nonprofit here in Naples for called the Housing Alliance. That's a hub for affordable housing. We're only a year old and we have a robust outreach for community donors. But we hired a marketing consultant. One of the first things they said is you have to develop a case for giving. Basically, an elevator speech that says, if I'm going to give you 50 grand, here's what you're going to get out of it. Here's why you're doing that. And here's the impact that you're going to have on the profession and the community. And you need to be able to market that through your member, through your board and through your membership. We also have an endowment fund. It took Virgil 2 years to put that thing together. It's actually well thought out and it's a great fund, but it's fallen flat on its face and we haven't been able to market that as well. So marketing that endowment fund to our members and to larger firms. So those are the kind of three things that we're kind of tagged into our three-year strategic plan.
So tell us a little bit about the makeup of the board.
We have each component, each component has a member. So there's 13 members. And then we have an educational member, and then anywhere from 2 to 4 public members. I think it's 2 to 4. We're short public members right now. And we're trying to do an outreach to get some public members engaged, mainly because we're trying to go out to the public. So we're looking for sometimes related industries who have the kind of same mission to get their word across. I've been trying to get somebody from a related foundation, not necessarily within the design foundation, but to help a successful foundation in fundraising. I think to have somebody from the foundation sector to help us figure out how to better market our fundraising efforts.
You know, AI Florida has its core committees, the communications, resiliency, professional development, and members can join a committee without being on the board. Do you have opportunities like that? Do you have committees that the general membership can serve on?
Committees have really been just within the board. That's an interesting idea about doing that. I never thought about it. You may have given me an idea here to reach out and get other members. That is something we could have each one of our component members go back to their component, saying, you know, there's an opportunity here for you to get involved.
Yeah, I was wondering, my next question was, how can members support the work that we do? So I was trying to figure out if there's somebody really interested in what your goals are.
They're interested in sitting on a committee and doing it at that level. But the best way they can support us is to just talk about architecture to everyone and anyone you can in different ways. Get on boards, volunteer for committees, for boards, for community committees, whether it's your HOA. I chair the design review board for the city of Naples. We're televised. I use that bully pulpit to talk about architectures. I keep constantly telling the mayor and council, I play to the camera. It's an opportunity. It's a second benefit. And yes, we're evaluating everything that gets built in the city and creating it. But I use it to explain what that building is about, how it works, what the good parts, the bad parts. Get yourself on a committee. One of the best ways of communicating the benefits of architecture.
So you've been a champion for the association on many, many levels. Tell us, why did you get involved with AIA and why is it important?
I've been a member of AIA for decades, originally from a firm started in Manhattan in New York, and I was in the New York chapter. My involvement, yes, I was, I didn't take a leadership role. And the very reason I didn't take a leadership role is early part of my career, I did a lot of travel, 40, 45 weeks a year, all over the eastern half of the United States. That's what a project. And I said, it's not fair to get on a board or get on in a committee and not be able to participate in meetings and participate. I guess it was maybe about 15 years ago, president of our chapter at the time, Brad Schiffer, came to me and he said, he voluntold me, when you get involved in leadership, I don't care how much you travel. He said, you're going to be my vice president. Couldn't say no to Brad. The following year, I became president. Just couldn't say no. Everything escalated. I've served as VP, as president. I've been on the board, treasurer for 2 years. I've been on the board for the past 12 years. Was on the state board. This is my second time around on the state board. I've served, I think, three convention committees, communication committee, of course, on the foundation. I'm on the board of FAPAC. So, you know, I've kind of been under the radar screen in involvement. You and I started talking about affordable housing. I think I've kind of maybe gotten a little more involved at the state level.
I can't tell you how many times I've thought about that meeting, but it was after, I think it was Ian, when you had to postpone the design awards. Actually, Beverly was president at the time, and we came down to participate in your design awards. And you asked me about my year coming up, and I just happened to mention, I had no idea you were so involved in affordable housing, but that was one of the things that I wanted the convention to focus on. And it was like a light bulb. You started talking and I thought, this has to be divine intervention, because there couldn't be a more perfect person to help me pull this off. And you are absolutely instrumental in the panels and the convention being so successful on those levels. So you will always be a precious soul to me for all those reasons. So I absolutely look forward to locking arms, as you say, with the foundation, and whether it's the architecture and education or the podcast or the masonry, I really look forward to it. So I thank you for sharing with us today and for your dedication and your tireless efforts to the profession. And we look forward to watching the foundation grow and extend its reach. I'm very much looking forward to being a part of that with you.
Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to pontificate on our mission. I hope I've got some of our members maybe interested. interested in joining us and helping us through that mission. So thank
That's
you for the
good.
opportunity.
So if our listeners would like more information about the foundation, you can find it on our website, AIFLA.org. There is a link to the foundation. There will also be links and contact information for Steve in our podcast notes. And also, he mentioned the People's Choice Award. Just a gentle reminder, it will be open for voting soon, and our theme this year is community icons. I hope our listeners have enjoyed the conversation with Steve and possibly learned something new about the partnership between the foundation and AIA Florida, just one of the many value-added benefits offered with membership. Thank you again for listening to the Voice of Florida Architecture, the podcast for AIA Florida. You can find us wherever you stream your podcast. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA.